views expressed on this program are those of the hosts, guests, and callers, and are not necessarily those of this station, its management, or other advertisers. You're listening to Transformation Talk Radio.
This show's audio was via a Skype call.
The truth is funny. With Colette Stephan, we'll have you thinking outside the box and riding the wave of infinite potential. Join Colette on the Higher Self Network as she provides energetic shifts and consistent results in every area of life, inspiring listeners to shine their brilliance and ensure success. Many people who shift out of limiting beliefs roar with laughter as they recognize the humor of the giant cosmic joke. The truth is funny. Shift happens. Feel instant relief. Stay tuned for more fun and release struggle and suffering. And now, here's your host, Colette Stephan.
Today, your guest host, Phil Free, is here. Phil has been using energy work since 1998. He continues to apply these techniques every day to facilitate improvement for himself, family, friends, and clients. You can tune in and benefit from it, too. Here's your guest host, Phil Free.
Hi, this is Phil Free. Welcome to The Truth is Funny on Transformation Talk Radio. I'm filling in for Colette today. Stay tuned for the next hour to experience instant relief using your intuition to solve life's most challenging problems. Shift happens every Wednesday at 8 a.m. live on the airwaves and in the archives at thetruthisfunny.com and transformationtalkradio.com. And all the shows are in the archives if you want to listen later. It's my pleasure to share life transforming information and provide you with an opportunity to call in and delete energetic weaknesses, to shift challenges into possibilities. We'd love to hear from you. Feel free to call in 1-800-930-2819. That's 1-800-930-2819. Call in with any issues or questions you guys have. I have two guests today. I have my brother, Michael Diliash, and I have Madison here visiting from Canada, who was with us last month as well. So, hey, Michael, how are you?
I'm doing well. Thanks for having me on the show. How are you?
I am doing well as also. Madison, how are you?
I'm doing very well, thank you. How are you?
I'm good. Basically, we're going to talk about relationships with Valentine's Day coming up. And as usual, we're going to look at things from an energy standpoint, from a psychology standpoint. We're going to look at compatibility, why some people are compatible and others aren't. In the description, I talked about whether people want to continue to use wishful thinking or if they want to have deeper knowledge when it comes to relationships. So that's what we'd like to provide here, deeper knowledge, so that people can get a better match in their relationships and find more happiness in life, or improve the match they have also. So, Michael, do you have any introductory statements you'd like to make about relationships and compatibility in relation to Myers-Briggs or Enneagram, which are the things that we talk a lot about when it comes to psychology?
Yeah, I would say that both the Enneagram and Myers-Briggs would give you gives anyone deeper insight on people's traits and characteristics and what actually would go well with their type of personality. So it's a different way of looking at it, in a more in-depth way, and it would increase your someone's chances of finding someone compatible.
Great. So why don't we start with something that our listeners might be familiar with, such as most of us have heard of the introvert and extroverts, right? So why don't you talk about when you how that works, the dynamic of introverts and extroverts with each other and apart, you know, how should I say it? Extroverts with each other, introverts with introverts, and extroverts with introverts. How does that dynamic play out in relationships?
Yeah, of course. So introvert and extrovert. So basically it deals with how people gain energy. So extroverts deal with it in the outside world, interacting with people, and introverts deal with it dealing with time alone and their thoughts. So an introvert and an extrovert in a relationship might come into conflict because when they come get home or something, or after a long day, an introvert might look for time alone to recharge, collect their thoughts, re-energize before they go out and socialize with their partner or friends. While an extrovert will be the opposite. They'll want to, right when they get home, talk about their day, catch up, and feel invigorated by actually talking and interacting with people. So when you're not aware of that, the extrovert might want to see the introvert as someone who's antisocial when they get home and want to talk, while the introvert might see the extrovert as someone who's needy when they're needy just because they want to like talk right when they get when they walk in the door. So that's how the pitfalls of that dynamic can be. But when there's two introverts, the lesson they can learn together is they might want to push themselves beyond their comfort zone and go out and socialize a little bit more. And while two extroverts might have a tendency to overdo too many activities and do too many things with too many people, might actually benefit from just doing things alone and just creating a quiet space where they can either like meditate or maybe just like work out by themselves or things of that sort.
Okay. Yeah. So, I'm sure our listeners find themselves in all the categories you just mentioned. Some people are in a relationship where they're an introvert with another introvert. Some are an extrovert with an extrovert. Some are introverts with extroverts. So, I mean, I want to just add to what you said that, if you are in a, for example, introvert and extrovert dynamic, like you mentioned, and there's those issues that you brought up, that it doesn't mean that the relationship is doomed or it's a bad relationship just because you have an introvert and extrovert in the relationship. So would you want to elaborate on that at all?
Yes. You don't necessarily have to marry someone who's exactly like you, your clone. Some differences is good. Just that you have to be more cognizant of the differences. It's not going to be your natural go-to, and it might just take a little bit more work, but it's totally workable.
Certainly, So, is there any thing you would have to say about another letter combination, such as the T and the F, which stands for thinker and feeler, for those who are listening?
Yes, so the other letter, two letters you mentioned, thinker or feeler, has to do with how one makes decisions. So a thinker is one that looks at the bottom line. They look with their head, they make decisions analytically, they just look for bottom line, and they want to be fair, and they notice more inconsistencies of logic and things of that sort, and they're looking just like to clear out all the background noise, and they're looking for clarity. Well, someone who's a feeler is that they make decisions based on their personal values. They want to kind of immerse themselves in people, like trying to empathize and relate to people's situation and their feelings, and they want to usually kind of get in the middle of that and make their decisions based on like their heart and compassion.
Right. All right. Thanks for that info. I'm just going to add to all this that although this information is very helpful and you can have everything lining up on paper just perfect in terms of our letters or numbers, in terms of compatibility, it doesn't mean for sure that things are going to work out either. And because there's so many other factors more than just the psychology when we look at relationships. But obviously, we're still going to talk about the psychology anyway because it helps to know. It helps a lot. I wanted to just say that because I wanted to bring in also the energy element, me knowing the energy work that I do. I would also back up all this knowledge with my energetic knowledge. And so even if something looks really good on paper, relationship-wise and things should line up, but something doesn't feel strong about it, I would not ignore that feeling. I would address that feeling or take it as a sign that it's not a good relationship. So that's just an extra thing that could help. It's good to know psychology. It's good to know the energy as well. And in combination, I feel it gives you a little extra boost. Wanted to throw that in. any comments on any other factors, or would you agree with what I said?
Yes,
Michael.
I do agree with what you're saying. It's more as a, I would use the Enneagram and the Myers-Briggs as a guideline more than a definite answer. I mean, you definitely want to know yourself, you know, be in a strong place, you know, you just want to be a healthy person yourself. And, you know, this isn't like a, you know, you're destined for this. So there's always room for improvement and growth and learning.
Cool. All right. Well, we also look at number compatibilities at times too. And, you know, we'll get more into it as the show goes on, but do you want to give us, an example, just one example before the break about how a number and another number may be incompatible or not necessarily when I say incompatible, again, nothing is doomed, like you said, but, two numbers that would have trouble with each other. Let's put it that way.
Yes.
In general.
Okay. Yes, of course. So I would say, for example, we could have a 2 that's an ESTP with a 5 that are often ISTJs. So the 5 is investigator, 2 is the helper. So it's basically they're one of the challenges because they come from completely opposite sides and different ways in terms of just about everything, how they process information, how they go about their day, planning their day, and or not, and then how they get energized. So those are two numbers that can be very different. So again, it doesn't mean it can't work, but there'll have to be a lot of like self-understanding and understanding of that other person.
Right. So that's a good point. I just want to, again, add for anybody who's listening that we're not, again, going to doom anybody. So if you find yourself, you know, in a 2-5 dynamic like the one he just brought up, it doesn't mean for sure that you guys have to break up or you're a bad couple or anything like that. And I just want to bring this side of things to show what, if you are in that dynamic, because there may be listeners who are in that particular dynamic, what they need to do to actually improve that situation or be cognizant of each other's differences so that they don't bother each other so much.
First thing,
do you have any insights on that?
First thing to do would be, book that I found very helpful is The Wisdom of the Enneagram by Don Richard Rizzo and Russ Hudson. That's a good source to start with. There's a lot of good sources too online or books about the Myers-Briggs. And so, you know, just learning about yourself, reading about the other personality, and then just take one letter at a time. You know, it's definitely a long-term process, but a long-term process is worth it because it will give you deep understanding about yourself and you know, your potential partner or friend or the other person you're trying to get to know.
Right. And so I would just add, you know, with energy work, you know, just back up anything you feel about, you know, with the energy testing and knowing that you're strong to what you're doing. That's the energy angle on this. Sounds real simple, but when the energy isn't strong, it's not necessarily, this is a bad relationship or anything. I mean, you can change that energy. You could shift it, as we talk about on this show all the time. We shift the energy, and then we get to a more neutral place. And once we get to that neutral place, then we're in a clear state of mind to make a decision like, okay, well, are those compatibility issues or incompatibility issues something that I know how to handle, navigate, or is it something that's just too much work, unpleasant, or whatever it may be, it's not worth it, I'm going to go somewhere else. So it helps to know this. I would definitely recommend any listeners following any of, you know, learning about energy work as well as psychology. But we are about to hit a commercial, so we've been talking about relationships compatibility with Michael and Madison, and we'll be back in a couple minutes to make some more shift happen.
Dream on, fly high, and live adventurously on The Laura Meeks Show. Tune in each month on Transformation Talk Radio as host Laura Meeks guides you in finding your unique gifts and bringing them to life. As a certified life coach, speaker, and veteran bomber pilot for the U.S. Air Force, Laura knows how to follow a dream. She is ready to support you so you can dream on, fly high, and live adventurously. For more information on Laura and her work, visit flyhighliving.com.
How would you like increased health and vitality? How would you like to avoid the onset of disease as well as slow the aging process? This is all possible through a simple, safe, and natural process. Every day, we are either moving toward wellness or away from wellness.
Hi, I'm Mary Jane Mack. I'd like to be your partner in achieving optimal health. Contact me now at MaryJaneMack.com or call 425-392-0659. Visit MaryJaneMack.com.
Are you traveling most of your day? Do you want to take Transformation Talk Radio with you anywhere you go? Well, guess what? There's an app for that. Just go to the App Store on your Apple device or the Google Play Store on your Android and search Transformation Talk Radio. Catch all of our live shows no matter where you are. Thanks for listening.
Are you ready to shift your current beliefs about death? From debilitating pain and loss? Follow Angie Corbett-Kuyper as she shares that through choice, present moment awareness, and keeping an open mind that anything is possible, even in death. Tune in to Beyond Proof Radio with Angie, redefining death and loss, every first and third Wednesday at 12 p.m. Pacific on TransformationTalkRadio.com. For more, visit BeyondProof.com.
Like the branches of a tree, universal knowledge, insight, and wisdom must be weaved together to bring forward to others. If you live in the Western Washington area, you will want to make the trip to Auburn and visit the new Alchemy of the Goddesses Center. Now open and offering healing sessions, classes, crystals, books, oils, and more. Find out more about the center. Visit alchemyofthegoddesses.com. That's alchemyofthegoddesses.com.
Demystifying the Journey on From Here to There Radio with your host, Diane Garris. Tune in every third Wednesday, 4 p.m. Pacific Time on TransformationTalkRadio.com as Diane helps you get from where you are now to the life you envision. Get ready to get unstuck and move forward. Every show features a new special segment, New Age Notes, demystifying hot metaphysical topics of the day. For more information or to work with Diane, visit DianeGarris.com.
Hi, we're back on The Truth is Funny. I'm Phil Free, filling in for Colette today. My guest is Michael Deliage, and I also have an in-person guest, Madison. Before we continue, Michael, can you share your contact info with our audience?
Yes, of course. My contact info is m_deleage@yahoo.com.
There you go. If anybody wants to send me an email or anything, you can do so at whatphil@hotmail.com, whatphil@hotmail.com. If anybody wants to call in with any questions or issues that they want cleared, shifted, call in at the number 1-800-930-2819, 1-800-930-2819. So we're going to get back into it. Madison, do you have any questions you'd like to ask about relationships or anything?
Yes, I was actually wondering, with the number personalities, is there certain numbers that are more compatible and why?
Michael, you want to field this one?
Yeah, okay. Yeah, and thank you again for your question, and thanks for being on the show. Yeah, there are definitely certain number or combinations I'd say that go pretty well together. I mean, one that comes off the top of my head is an 8 and a 1 would go well together for the reasons that they're both strong on a thinker letter, so they kind of both come to decisions on a very similar way. They'll get to that same decision, so it's kind of like an understanding of how they got there. They both usually very strong on the J letters. So they love to plan. They love clarity and closure. So that also that's just going to kind of reinforce that. So they have a lot of commonality in mind. Another one that would come to mind is a 9 and a 4 can go well together because they you know, they both go with the heart. They both really connect to people quite well. They both understand each other. They're also pretty reflective types too, because they're both generally introverts. So they'll understand a need for space and things of that sort. And so that's those are another quick one I would say is, for example, like a 2 and a 6 can get along quite well too, because they're both usually out, especially the 6-7, they're both outgoing. They both also make decisions based on their heart, on compassion, and they tend to be kind of like pretty easygoing types as well. So there's a lot of ways where they make the decisions and how they get energized that are going to be that they're just going to kind of like naturally understand each other.
You follow? Does that answer your question, Madison?
Oh yes, it does. Thank you so much.
Cool. Yeah, I just want to add, so I've been kind of doing the counter thing to what you've been saying all show long. I'm going to do it again. So even in the combination that matches, let's say like the 8-1, the first example that you use, some listeners might be in that dynamic and the relationship might not be going so well. And I think that's where it's important to look at the verticality of the relationship when it comes to the Enneagram. What am I talking about there? Do you want to elaborate on what I'm talking about when it comes to the vertical aspect of the Enneagram and health and all that?
Yeah, of course. Thanks for bringing that up. That's a key point. And again, this applies to everyone. So in the Enneagram, they talk about 9 levels of development. 9 being basically where you're disintegrated, you're unhealthy, you're in a very bad place. And 1 is where you're very you're comfortable with who you are, you're in a strong place, you know who you are, and you know how to utilize the talents that you have.
Let's say that you're an 8-1 dynamic, but let's say, for example, the 8 is healthy. Let's say he's at a 2 or 3 state, and while the 1 is, like, let's say, struggling at a 6 or 7 state, would that be an area where it'd be really tough for them to get along, even though the compatibility is there?
Yes, it could be, because, for example, you said the 1, when they aren't healthy, they can get to a point where they get to the point where they're self-righteous. They like to try to lecture on people on what the way things should be, and kind of come as if they're preaching. For an 8, for example, who's known as a challenger, who doesn't mind bluntness, and people just tell it as it is, but they definitely don't like to be told what to do and bossed around. So even though they might have a lot of letters in common, if the unhealthy ones is going on a diatribe and lecturing the 8, the 8 might, there will be sources of conflict from that.
Right. Well, since we're talking about this vertical aspect, I mean, I wanted to bring it up as it applies to numbers that are not necessarily compatible with each other. But if they're healthy, does that start to negate the incompatibilities instead?
Yeah, so that's a very good point. Again, this is always more a path to growth and a guideline than something set in stone. Yeah, no, an example I can think of would be a 4, the individualist, he's actually INFP, introvert, intuitive, feeler, perceiver, and a 1, which is called the reformer, which is an ESTJ. But they're both very healthy people. They know who they are. They know what they're good at. They know what their strengths are. The key is, even though they're different, all their letters on paper, it doesn't look like it'd be a good fit. They're able to use their differences as complementary and not as a source of conflict. And they just take the time to really listen to each other and understand where the other one's coming from.
Right. So we're going to take people in we already are taking people in a lot of different directions. And we'll recap at the end if you listen through at a lot of this, because there's no like one answer for anybody that, oh, you just do this and you'll find happiness. It's not that simple. If it was, I mean, we'd just like, you know, spend a minute on everybody and charge $1 million. No, just kidding. You know, make $1 million charging $5, you know, for a minute. And, okay, you go this way, you go that way. It'd be way too easy. Madison, do you want to chime in with something here?
Oh, yes. I was actually wondering, a previous relationship I was in before, when things were really good, they were really good, but when they were bad, it was really bad. And I find that even like, I don't know if this is just because I'm a, partly because I'm a two, and I always want to help someone. So even when I wasn't being treated well, I wanted to keep the relationship going because I really cared about this person. But then I literally remember waking up one day and just, I felt like I didn't have any feelings for that person at all because I was just done with the situation. So I didn't know if that like has any relevance to the number theory at all, or the numbers or the letter combination.
Yeah, no, again, thanks for sharing that. Definitely, it has a lot to do with the two, because the two, as I said earlier, is known as the helper, so they're stranger empathy. So that means they really care for people, they put their heart on their sleeves. They almost have like a sixth sense about how people are feeling. One of the traps or pitfalls that the two might go into is they might want to go into rescuer mode, thinking, here I am, I want to, you know, want to help this person, and you know, I really want to pull the sinking ship out of the water, and which is, you know, a good feeling to have. The pitfall is that the other person has to put the effort into it, and if they're not willing to make the work, there's not going to be much progress. And eventually, like a two's a lot of tendency to burn themselves out because they'll overcommit, they'll overoffer themselves to people. And not always get a good gauge of like pacing their own energy, and eventually, like, if they still don't see any progress in this and the other person's not making an effort, they'll just burn out and say, okay, I'm done. And so I've known a lot of twos who can relate to that struggle.
Does that answer your question, man?
Yes, it does. It makes a lot of sense, actually, so thank you so much.
So yeah, just right. So I mean, in light of that information, I would say that everybody who's listening, know who you are first and foremost. I think that's where it starts. Once you know that, then yes, it helps know your partner. Of course, we're always discovering ourselves, so it's not like, oh, we get to a point and I know myself 100%, and there's always room for growth. So I don't say like you have to know yourself completely all the time before you can meet anybody. But the better we know ourselves, the better we know what's compatible for us and the better decisions we can make. And also, sometimes it's good to know also even when to end relationships, you know, and if you're aware of this, you can end it sooner and not let things drag on if you know it's not something you want to pursue, or you see the incompatibilities way ahead of time and you see perhaps you're willing to work on it, the other person's not aware or not listening to this kind of information or not open to it or just not self-reflective in any way or that kind of nature. So yeah, so basically, anything you wanted to add on that before we hit the break, Michael?
A quick thing I'd say, too, is the good thing about the Enneagram and the book I recommended, they'll have trigger points for that for each number. So if you're just going through, like, a bad period and you have this book or this information, you can kind of see, oh, this is kind of like a trigger point of mine, and it's kind of like a red flag you spot early. So that's a kind of a good way to quickly address a problem before it festers into something worse.
Thanks for that. Well, we're about to hit a break. If anybody wants to call in, we can take your calls afterwards. It's 1-800-930-2819. And we'll be right back to make some more shift happen. Thanks for listening, and keep listening.
Wow. Hey, everyone. Welcome. Welcome to the Dr. Pat Show. This is Talk Radio to Thrive By. I'm telling you, I got to pinch myself some days, because when each of us gets called to do something that we so not thought was in our wheelhouse to do for a purpose that's so much greater than us, we get to show up and shine.
If you would like to show up and shine on the Dr. Pat Show as a co-host or sponsor, send us an email to inspire@thedrpatshow.com.
This is Peggy Snow, practitioner at Stellar Reflections, with a Stellar Reflections Minute. So many people these days are trying to find ways to relieve their stress. What happens to our breathing when we're feeling overwhelmed and stressed? When we tune in, we realize that we're either holding our breath or taking very shallow breath to signal the body that all is well, which most of the time it is. Sometimes all that is needed is a nice, deep breath to break the cycle. First, exhale to get all the stale air out by engaging the abdominal muscles and blowing gently. Next, take a nice full breath in, feeling it fill your body all the way down to your hips. Release fully and enjoy the freedom of movement. Notice how your body feels. Do you feel refreshed? Calmness is only a breath away. This has been a Stellar Reflections Minute. For more information about what we offer at Stellar Reflections, visit us at stellarreflections.com or call 425-999-9836. That's 425-999-9836.
Do you want the knowledge and wisdom to understand where spirituality, science, and psychology intersect? Then join the Karmic Path Radio Show with Tina and Laura on TransformationTalkRadio.com Thursdays at 4 p.m. Pacific. Follow this charmingly, disarmingly dynamic duo as they explore how psychic ability, spirituality, and karmic law tie together. For more information on Tina, Laura, and their groundbreaking work, visit thekarmicpath.com.
Do you know how powerful your thoughts and beliefs are in determining your experience of your life? Is it really true that simply by changing some of the words you use in your day-to-day language, that you can change your life? I'm Megan Edge. Join me on Playing on the Edge, Radical Change with Ease, with my co-host Dr. Pat on Transformation Talk Radio. I look forward to seeing you there.
To find out more about Megan Edge, visit her website at meganedge.ca.
Are you looking for the perfect setting for your next workshop or retreat? At Spirit Fire Meditative Retreat Center, cultivating consciousness is what we do best. Our guests count on us to create an atmosphere that supports serenity and well-being. We lead from the heart and create space for the mind. Freshly prepared meals designed with local and organic ingredients, 95 acres of beautiful woods and pastures, and a facility built with green in mind. This is what you'll find at Spirit Fire. For more information, visit SpiritFireRetreatCenter.com.
Hi, this is Phil Free filling in for Colette today. I have Michael Deliage and Madison here with me, and we've been discussing relationships and compatibility. Michael, how, are you still with us?
Yes, I am.
Awesome. Well, we were talking about something over the break. Do you want to get into it a bit?
Yeah. So one thing I was going to ask you was that. So a lot of times that I've noticed in the Myers-Briggs and the Enneagram is that sometimes people have a bad experience with a particular number or letter type. If it's, let's say, a bad experience with their parents, and therefore they're totally anti this number or that letter combination. But unfortunately, sometimes they can actually learn a lot from that number. In your work, do you see a lot of that, and people have like past issues with that can actually block their growth?
Definitely that last point about when people get jaded by something, it could be a number, like you said, it could be many things. And once they've had a bad experience with that thing, then they don't go back to it or that person or that type or whatever it is. So it does come across quite often. I mean, in the case so what you're kind of saying at the beginning of that about like the numbers, I want to touch on that a little bit more specifically. So let's say, that you didn't like your parent, you know, your dad, for example, just hypothetically, although I'm sure a lot of listeners may not have liked their dad. So it's true for many. So basically, let's say you don't like your dad and he's a certain number, and that's your number of integration when it comes to the Enneagram. That means that you have a lot to learn from that number. But you've been so jaded by that number that you just kind of shut them out, turn them off. And then it does prevent your growth because, yes, you're not looking at what that number has to offer. And you're kind of throwing the baby with the out with the bathwater kind of thing when you're
prejudging.
Yeah, you're prejudging the situation. And yes, you're saying kind of like, oh, whatever that number is are bad. And yes, from an energy standpoint, what I would do is I would just clear their issues with that number. You know, obviously if I knew it stemmed from their parents, you know, the relationship with the parents, I would look at that and strengthen that.
shift the energy there, and then see, you know, ask them again. I was like, okay, now if you think about, you know, getting in touch or meeting somebody with this number, and, you know, having discussion or whatever, going on a date with them or any of this stuff, you know, how do you feel? And, you know, ideally we get to a place where they feel completely neutral about it. And that's something to look at for a lot of people. And anybody who does have that issue, you know, just going to get them centered here on a very general level. Obviously, I'm not talking to anybody specific, but anybody who has this issue is listening. You know, we can obviously make some shifts just on a general level as well. It doesn't have to be just person to person. So I'm going to do that for the group. And anybody who's jaded by any particular number, let's just get them neutral to that number and, you know, neutralize them to that individual and not necessarily to everybody who fits into that number. Otherwise, hey, Madison, do you have any questions, any further questions about relationships, compatibilities or incompatibilities that you've experienced or types that you don't like, anything?
Well, I feel like I'm very attentive in a relationship. I like to make people feel like they're wanted and that they're heard and everything that they're feeling. But then I feel like a big turnoff for me is when someone is too needy, because I already give so much attention and then it pushes me further away.
Okay. I can certainly say a few things about that. I'll chime in, but Michael, do you have some things you want to say first about it?
Yeah, I think it's a natural feeling to have. I mean, people want balance in the relationship. So even though, like, we were talking about the two earlier, and you know, you being a two, you want to help people and be there for them, and you give a lot, you put your heart on that, and you want to be of service to people, but you seem to be at a healthy two, but like it's a lot of other types, and even two that are unhealthy are always looking for the one to be wanted and that approval. So when they come off as like too demanding, too much affirmation, too much attention, that could just drain you, because you've felt like that you've given all that you can, and that you in a way almost feel like you're being taken advantage of, and that could be, you know, that could be extremely taxing for you.
Right. And does that explain anything?
Oh, yeah, absolutely.
Yeah, and you know, I've obviously experienced, being with a lot of people. Yeah, I mean, you know, hanging out, having friends, just, you know, all kinds of things with all the different numbers. So, I mean, I've experienced all the, hanging out with people, knowing all the different numbers in my life. I certainly have experiences with twos. I noticed, you know, that dynamic that Madison was talking about also with other twos. And my little thing or my insight to that is also just I notice that twos come from a place where it's a given that they're going to give and do stuff for people. And I just want to neutralize that mentality that we start with a blank slate. You know, when you enter a deal or anything in life, you know, it's best to start with 0-0, nothing owed to anybody or no expectations when you first walk into the deal, in a sense. And so then everybody can present what they want or whatever. And so for twos, I would just be mindful, like, if you are going to help, maybe helping specifically with what your partner wants, if you want that relationship to be strong, and asking for what you want specifically as well. Because sometimes, like you said, with a two, their desire to help others is masking their own inability to see themselves, or it's masking their own desire to be helped, really. So that twos not just help till they get drained, but that they ask for what they want and give the other person what the other person wants, if they want to give, that is. So would you back that up, Michael?
Yes, I definitely would. What I would say about the one thing I would chime in about the two is always ask yourself, to like tune in to yourself and just kind of see what you feel. And think about this. When you're helping someone, are you enabling them and letting that difficult behavior continue, or are you actually practically helping them? Because sometimes that can get murky, but it's important to find clarity in that, because one's healthy and one just perpetuates a bad cycle.
Can you relate to any of that, Madison?
Oh, yeah, definitely. And I feel like I also, because I'm very empathetic, I'll take on other people's feelings as my own. So even if they're going down in a bad spiral or whatever, and I'm still trying to help them, it kind of only gets you further down to their position, really. Instead of trying to help, then you're almost replacing their position with yours. So,
okay, I'll chime in on that. I would just say that's perfect evidence to me that over empathy is not good, is not helpful in life, where you're letting your empathy for somebody drag you down, like you just said. I think you described it very well. And I feel like for anybody, you know, and this is important in energy work, and that's important with the numbers, is important in life, that when we see somebody who's weak, it is good to humanize with them in a sense, you know, have enough empathy that they feel that they can talk to you. You're not somebody they can't even talk to or look at or something like that, because you're too intimidating or mean or whatever it is. So certainly have humanity in us, but not lower ourselves to the weak level. So I think about a situation where you have one sick person and one healthy person. If anything, we're trying to get the sick person to the level of a healthy person, not the healthy person down to the level of the sick person. So I think that's the point that Madison was kind of making. And I would just say that for twos and for all numbers and for energy work as well. You hold, if you're in the strong position, hold that strong position, and you could throw the rope or the ladder down for that person to climb up to that, but don't climb down the ladder, you know, into the hole and get weak with that person, like Madison just said. Would you agree with that, Michael?
Yes. Even the greatest aspects of our personalities too much of something can be a bad thing. And, again, with like we're talking about the two, that's having empathy is great, but if it's to the point where you're dragging yourself down and ruining your health or other aspects of your life, yeah, then as you said, you bring yourself down, and that's not what we're looking to achieve.
Right. So that's also kind of a clue, you know, if you're in a relationship and somebody, you know, keeps wanting to sort of pull you down there, and you keep saying, no, I'm not going down there, but you can climb up, and they don't take the opportunities to climb up. I mean, that's usually a good indicator a lot of times that the relationship is not in a good place. In many cases, it's a good thing to say, okay, we need to seriously address this or end this. Would you agree with that?
Yeah. Yes, I would. I mean, a relationship is, any relationship has to be, both people have to make the effort and put in the work and, you know, be introspective and willing to grow. And if both people aren't, then it's not going to work out.
Right. So, yeah, I mean, one last aspect I want to say is that sometimes, you know, people can also be in a relationship and have a compatibility, but kind of be in a rut with each other. And I guess I'll have to expand on that after the break, because we're about to hit it. We'll be right back to make some more shifts happen. And if anybody wants to call in, we have a little more time. The number is 1-800-930-2819. We'll be right back.
Hi, I'm Jane Matanga with Grow Your Soul Radio. Life is full of challenges and surprises. Your guidance is to move with the current, for it is in resisting the flow that creates problems. Ask your angels to help you open up your mind and heart to new ideas and fresh options. When you accept the possibility that there are other ways, previously unseen doorways will be open to you, and you will move easily through change. There is a solution to every problem, so look at things with eyes of love and expectation. Then your life force will flow freely through you. You will feel healthy and alive, and will be able to access the necessary resources and wisdom within yourself to help you through change. I'd love to take this journey with you. Visit my website, enlightened-path.com, so we can explore all that is possible.
This is Debbie Pokornik with a moment for standing in your power. Self-control begins with noticing how different feelings present themselves in your body.
When you're feeling sensitive, for example, your chin might quiver, tears might well up in your eyes, and your voice might catch in your throat. Anger, on the other hand, might appear as tension in your jaw, back, or arms, along with clenched fists, heat in the upper torso, scowling, and a strong desire to yell. The more aware you become of your body cues, the easier it will be to recognize when you're on the road to disaster. Choose the emotions that cause you problems, then start noticing and logging the body cues that come with them.
For information and to work with Debbie, visit empoweringnrg.com. That's empoweringnrg.com.
Join the new earth on the Cornelia Stephanie Show. Tune in each month as Cornelia takes listeners on an odyssey of higher consciousness to inspire, educate, and empower. Cornelia Stephanie is a spiritual teacher, passionate speaker, published author, and founder of the Empower Network. Cornelia guides people on the path of self-healing, peace, and liberation. For more information, go to corneliastephanie.com.
Healing beyond symptom management into true wellness with Jessica Dooley on Purely You Radio. Tune in every third Wednesday at 1 p.m. Pacific as Jessica guides you to find and embrace your purest self. Not the self that is shown on social media, not the self that is created in your family's eyes, but your purest version of you. Purely You Radio supports true wellness, not just symptom management. For more information about working with Jessica Dooley, visit purelyyouhealing.com.
This is Phil Free filling in for Colette, and we've been talking about relationships and compatibility with Michael and Madison, and I was touching on a point before the break, which I'll elaborate now, that even if we have compatibility as far as our letters and numbers, there's another thing that we want to look at, which we touched on earlier, is this verticality, this health aspect. So you mentioned the 9-to-1 health thing where one was at the healthiest level, 9 was the unhealthiest. So let's say in an example where let's say you have a couple that is the same number and same letters perhaps even, and everything, there's no conflict really amongst them. But let's say they're at a sort of medium level of health. They think they may have it made, but I would still challenge that couple to grow vertically. That is that they want to get healthier as individuals, not to just be like, oh, well, there's no conflict, so we don't have anything to grow or there's nothing to improve on or anything like that. There's some people may fall into that trap as well. And there's always room to grow. There's always room to get better, to know more, to be more aware, to make better decisions, really, not to have necessarily be a better soul necessarily, but I guess we become a better soul in a sense by making strong decisions. So anything you want to add to that or elaborate with on that, Michael?
Yeah, I would say that I guess it's more of a question for you.
Sure.
So we were talking, like, one of the, and I've seen this many times, is that you might have a couple, and they might be with someone who's in their direction disintegration, like a 9 with a 6 or 4 with a 2 or an 8 with a 5. And in your experience, you see a lot of people that struggle because they actually are triggered by the struggles of their partner.
Sure. So that happens a lot. But as far as what to do, I mean, there's a lot of things to do. I mean, I'd say being aware of this helps. I'd say the energy work helps too. I mean, when it comes to the energy work, you know, when you know what to look out for, you know why something is bothering you, it's a lot easier to, not necessarily why, but when you know, when you're able to pinpoint clearly like what the trigger is, then it's much, you know, easier to solve things. So that's where I pair these things up. And so if, yes, you have a number who's with a number of disintegration, there's things for both sides to look at. Let's say you said the 9-6 or the 4-2. I mean, an example of the 9-6, the 9 is the direction of integration for the 6, and the 6 is the direction of disintegration for the 9. So let's say if you're the 9 in that dynamic, I would just say that understanding that
the things that the six does badly are going to remind you of the things you do badly. And so it's actually a chance to be neutral and get strong to those things that you do badly and be reminded of those things by others, you know? So it's okay if you know what to do. If you're, you know, that's just one thing you can change. I mean, there's so many things, but that's just one little piece of advice. If you're the six, you know, conversely, then you're in a situation where, you know, that number nine is your direction of integration. And so you may think, okay, well, that's great. You have a lot to learn. They're very stimulating to you, but that might trigger the six too a lot, because sometimes they may feel like, hey, I'm not as good as this person, or that, you know, hey, why is it this dynamic where they're always telling me stuff and I'm not telling them stuff. And, they may feel resentful too. So just neutralizing that and understanding that, again, it's like it's triggering things about them. It's like their lack, or things that they're not, or things that they are really inside, but they just haven't tapped into it yet. And it's triggering them that they're not there yet. So just, you know, either side can, those are just the tip of the iceberg things that come, you know, off the top of my head. But depending on the individual I'm dealing with or the couple I'm dealing with, there could be a plethora of other issues there. But it's a very good point to bring up. I'm glad you did. Thanks.
Yeah, no, thanks for answering that. With a lot of people I know, that's they run into that a lot. So thanks for answering that.
Right. So, yeah, I mean, I'm just going to say another thing about the energy. Yeah, the bottom line with all this is, if something feels strong, it feels strong. If something doesn't feel strong, it doesn't feel strong. Now, the degree of how specific you want to get with yourself will determine, you know, how specifically well the relationship may or may not go. And of course, there's, even with doing all your homework, things still may not go right. Or, you know, again, it also takes a partner who's just as willing and able as you are, in a sense. Like, if one person's willing to grow and the other person isn't, you may start at the same point thinking, hey, this is a great relationship, but like 2 years into the relationship, one person's really grown and the other person really hasn't changed at all. Then that relationship gets stale, or it's, you know, gets bitter or something like that. So I would just say, just being aware of our energy, continuing to be strong in our energy, make strong decisions. All this stuff helps a lot. At the end of the day, if you know the stuff and continue to make weak decisions, then it's not going to help you that much. So I would couple this energy work with all of life, really, and psychology information and other things, that we just need to make strong decisions in life. But otherwise, we did take people through lots of twists and turns tonight. So I want to do a little bit of recapping here. So yes, we have compatibilities, but the compatibilities, you know, while usually statistically good, they can also be our downfall if we're not careful. You know, meanwhile, we have incompatibilities that, even though they look incompatible on paper, if people are healthy enough or aware enough and know what to do, they can navigate those and actually still have a very healthy relationship, like that 4-in-1 couple that you brought up earlier. Anything else you want to add to what I'm saying here, Michael?
Yeah, I definitely agree with what you're saying. Again, I mean, we've talked a lot about compatibility and similarities and differences. And yes, a lot of times people, you know, statistics do say that even though there's that old adage that opposites attract, there might be that initial draw, but down the road that could be source of conflict. Well, a lot of numbers that I've seen that are tend to be compatible are numbers that have very similar letters. But so that's good to know that, and there'll be more natural understanding. But also, on the other hand, I don't think most people want to marry their clone. So if you have two people who are very similar, but let's say are both very strong in one area, but then they're very weak in the other area, then, you know, as a couple, that dynamic might not be very strong, because they encounter this issue and they're both weak at it, and then they kind of come at a crossroads. So just knowing that if you have the same number or same letters, there'll be more natural understanding, and that could work great. If you're a very different number with very different letters, that it's probably going to take more work. There's going to have to be a lot more time to understand the other person, because they're coming from totally different points of view. But it is very workable. Again, this is more of a guideline than something that's definite and unchangeable. There's always room for growth.
Uh-huh. Madison, do you have any thoughts, insights, or questions before we wrap up?
Yes, actually, I was wondering, I guess this goes maybe back to what we were talking about earlier, where if you have a bad experience or something with a certain number and you might prejudge that, is there a way to try to figure it out in a different way and try to give that person a chance or to completely not try to forget, I guess, your situation you had before or a bad situation?
Right. Well, I'd say from an energy standpoint, we definitely want to just clear any baggage that we're carrying from the past, and we don't want to punish any future people we met because of the people in the past.
Mm-hmm.
Certainly we can identify character traits that are similar or personality traits that are similar in, you know, somebody that, you know, we're meeting and somebody we didn't like in the past. I say it takes some study and work and everything, but as you learn all this information, you're able to piece together specifically what works and specifically what didn't work or what triggered you, what didn't trigger you. And then also you have a roadmap of how to navigate if it's worth it, you know? So it's really like, even though I found myself in situations where I know how to solve a lot of things and solve conflicts with people, but I realize the other person isn't ready or willing to solve the conflict. So I might try, but then I realize, okay, well, it's not up to me to do this entirely. So if it's there from both sides and there's a balance, then maybe it is worth, you know, fixing those things. If there isn't the balance, you know, you just be aware of it on your end of things and make wise decisions from there. And obviously if you meet somebody down the line who is balanced, then, you know, those differences can be overcome. We're running out of time here. We're out of time actually for the show. And it's been a pleasure connecting with all of you out in the audience. And thank you to Michael Diliage for being on the show and for
Madison. Thank you for having me.
And thanks, Carter.
Thanks for having me.
Thank you, Madison, for being on. We'll be back next month, Michael and I, next Wednesday, the first Wednesday of next month. Next week, though, Colette will be back, so stay tuned to Transformation Talk Radio for a lot of good stuff. We'll be back, make some more shift happen next time. Thanks for listening.
You've been listening to The Truth Is Funny with Colette Stephan. Tune in to The Truth Is Funny with Colette Stephan each Wednesday at 8 a.m. Pacific, 11 a.m. Eastern on TransformationTalkRadio.com. Join Colette on the Higher Self Network as she provides energetic shifts and consistent results in every area of life, inspiring listeners to shine their brilliance and ensure success while roaring with laughter as they recognize the humor of the giant cosmic joke. The truth is funny. Visit thetruthisfunny.com for more information. That's thetruthisfunny.com.